That is the Lumineers here on 98.3. The Penguins singing about the salt and the sea. An appropriate little stage setting for us to chat with our special guests as we're going to be shining our light on the newly opened Hidden Ships Distillery up in Topsail, where there's lots of salt and the sea. I want to give a big, warm Penguin welcome to our new friends, Amy and Andy with Hidden Ships Distillery. Welcome to the Igloo.
Thank you. Hi. Happy to be here.
Very happy to have you. We have the great privilege of getting to shine our spotlight on local voices in our community. Do want to give a shout out and thank you to Excite Credit Union, who is the leader in local business and banking solutions. They sponsor these local voice spotlight interviews that we get to do. And with that, we are just thrilled to welcome your new business to our community and really happy to be able to shine a light on what you've got going on. So I'll let you tell your full names, Amy and Andy, husband and wife team that have just opened Hidden Ships. Schwepka.
Schwepka. Nailed it.
Schwepka is the last name. It doesn't look anything like that if you see it in print. But Amy and Andy will work. And I guess they've just kind of fulfilled a dream in getting the doors open. Give everybody out there a little bit of an introduction to yourselves, a little bit of your story, how you ended up here and opening up Pender County's first distillery.
Yeah, I mean, very quickly, my background, I was in the Marine Corps for 21 years, retired in June of 21. Amy was a nurse, an RN nurse for 20 years.
Thank you both for your service and your work.
Yeah, I was happy to serve and happy to retire. I recommend it to everyone. And so, you know, the origin story in terms of how we ended up opening a distillery really started with a great experience. There's a great distillery up north of Charlotte called Murto's Made. Give them a little shout out. But that's where our great experience started. Probably early 2019, went up there and just had this amazing experience with this great smoked old fashioned that was presented to us. And so at that point in my life in 2019, for about the 10 years leading up to that point, every time a brewery would open, I would look at it and say, man, I could have done that. I should have done that. And that's not to take away from the breweries out there, but it was just that feeling that I had. And so then we have this great experience at this distillery, and I started to you know, research craft distilling industry. And the assessment I made was I think craft distilleries are where maybe craft brewers were 10 or 15 years ago in terms of their popularity and kind of, you know, increasing how many are out there. And so really started to dive into the industry. University of Louisville, of course, Louisville is the heart of bourbon country. And so that school actually offers a graduate program in distilled spirits. So my last 2 years in the Marine Corps, I was able to complete that program. Gave me a great foundation in, you know, a lot of the regulatory issues that are involved within our industry, but also, you know, the history. And I was a history undergrad. And so, you know, I definitely nerded out on the history of craft spirits and craft distilling. And so that was a great foundation to build and to actually get us to the point where we think we could open a distillery.
And of course, you get a lot of credibility by getting your graduate degree in distilled spirits at University of Louisville in bourbon country.
Yeah,
heart of bourbon country.
Yeah, great program that they put together. And then, you know, just to fast forward a little bit and to mention credibility, Amy and I both attended, again, back in Louisville, Moonshine University, which is kind of a funny sounding name, maybe, but very legitimate curriculum. They do all the curriculum development for the American Distilling Institute. And so Amy and I did that. It's a 6-day hands-on distillers course. We did it last May of 22. And, you know, you can't learn it all in 6 days, but what it did was, you know, give us the confidence to think that we could to make this happen, right? So we got back from that end of May of 22, and we signed the lease on our space a few days after.
Rock on. And now you have just opened those doors. How did you settle on Pender County and up there near Topsail?
Yeah, so, you know, again, Marine Corps brought us to the area. My career, I was able to kind of stay in the area for the last half of it, which is a little unique, but we were very fortunate for that to be true. And actually, the year I retired, we spent the first year traveling in an RV, did 30 states full-timing for a year. You know, Amy and I, 4 kids and a dog, we all made it back alive. But that was a unique experience. And really, one of the things that we got out of that was solidifying that this area is home. Because we got to see a lot of great places, but, you know, again, it was coming back to it. Now we knew for sure. For the first time in our married lives, the Marine Corps told us where to be up to that point. Mm-hmm. Now we got to decide, and we decided to stay.
And stay coastal. Mm-hmm. And speaking of, let's do talk about the name Hidden Ships. I guarantee you there are going to be some folks out there listening that are going to learn something that they don't know about Topsail and where its name came from, and that's where the name Hidden Ships comes from. You want to tell us about that?
So Hidden Ships, you know, there's some legend and folklore around Topsail Island. Some of it is true. We do have verified, you know, pirate history. Blackbeard and Stephen Bonnet were pirates known to be on the coast specifically. There's still people probably today digging for Blackbeard's treasure on Topsail Island. And so that history is true. Kind of the folklore, though, behind it is that the pirates would hide in the inlets and they would ambush merchant ships. And so soon enough, the merchant ships would learn to look for the top of their sails because they could just see them over the sand dunes. And so, you know, if they could see the top of the sails, they could kind of get away from that ambush. And so, you know, Topsail Island got its name from being able to see the tops of the sails, which does by default kind of make us the pirates. but we're not really the bad guys.
Right. And those hidden ships was what that was really all about. And that's the essence of your name.
Yeah, 100%. And again, that was a deliberate effort. We wanted to tie into the community. We want to build that sense of community. And so to kind of, you know, pay homage to that folklore is how we came up with Hidden Ships.
And it's I love the story. Love that. I did not know that was how Topsail Island got its name. Thanks for sharing that with us. And I'm sure lots of folks out there have light bulbs going off in their heads. If you're just joining us or tuning in, we've got Amy and Andy of the newly opened Hidden Ships Distillery up in Pender County. Of course, you can find them online and on socials and such. We've got a lot more to tell you about. HiddenShips.com is their website. And we're going to tell you a little bit more about what they've got going on since they have just opened those doors. But we'll take a little musical interlude with one of their favorite bands. It's the Avett Brothers up for you now, doing some high-stepping here on the Penguin. That is the Avett Brothers doing some high-stepping here on the Penguin. One of the bands our guests are fans of. We've got Amy and Andy in here of the newly opened Hidden Ships Distillery, the first distillery to open in Pender County, and we are thrilled to be shining our Local Voices spotlight on them. Thanks to Excite Credit Union for sponsoring this interview. They are the leader in local business and banking solutions. So we've been giving you a little bit of background on the name. You can go, if you missed that first segment, go to their website, Hidden Ships Distillery, or HiddenShips.com. And they've got a nice little origin story video there that'll explain anything you may have missed. But now let's get into what you're actually distilling there and what the scene is like, where you are. Give everybody out there the scoop.
Yeah, so I'll start with kind of what we're making. We launched with a vodka, gin, rum, and bourbon. So that's kind of our four main products. That's the spirits that we also feature on our menu. In terms of where we're located, I do want to mention we're in what's called the Triton Village. They're in Surf City. It's right off of Topsail Island. And so we're very happy to be in that location. A lot of people may know that, you know, where Salty Turtle Brewing Company is. They're kind of at the front of that village. And we're now at the back end in some of the new buildings that they were just built recently.
Gotta like that. And you mentioned bourbon. Let's take a moment because there is a popular misconception out there that it can only be bourbon if it comes from Kentucky.
Right. Yeah, that is a misconception. There's a couple of hard and fast rules that you have to meet with bourbon. Coming from Kentucky is not one of them. I know I have friends from Kentucky that may still want to disagree, but I promise that's not one of the main criteria.
You've been to graduate school on this. You know.
Yeah, I did kind of. I made some flashcards on it. And so it does have to come from the U.S., though. So the word bourbon is protected in the U.S., much like tequila would be protected in Mexico or scotch or champagne even. And so, sure. You know, even if it was made exactly the same in Canada, they couldn't call it bourbon.
So vodka, bourbon, gin coming next week.
Yeah, I want to talk about gin real quick. We made gin, distilled it, and we thought it was very, very good. But it wasn't quite ready. And so what I did is I put 96 bottles of gin out into the bar, only 96. And that was so that gin was in our cocktails for the kind of this opening couple of weeks. And so it was very good. It's gotten a lot of great reviews. But I didn't think it was quite ready. Gin, in a little sense, is a little bit like stew. Like the longer you let it set and meld together, the better it is. So we wanted to give it two more weeks kind of in the tank. And we just bottled it this past Monday. And so even though it was good before, we now know that it's even better. So we're excited. Coming up October 20th, big gin release party, really for that whole kind of weekend. But we'll have, we put 1,200 bottles of gin in bottles just the other day. I'll be signing bottles. A lot of people like, you know, that they get a chance to have the head distiller sign the bottle. So I'm happy to do that for that grand opening, not grand opening, but gin opening weekend. Gin opening,
and which is a week from tomorrow, basically. That's right, October 20th. That gets underway. And talk a little bit about the drinks. I know when I was looking through your website and socials, just getting to know you guys, I saw that term pre-prohibition quite a bit. So talk about how you're using your distilled spirits in your drinks.
Yeah, so all the I built the menu, and again, I mentioned I was a history major, so I just felt like the late 1800s were kind of the height of the bartending profession. It was also the height of cocktails. You know, Prohibition kind of killed that momentum that this country had, and so we want to kind of give it a return to that. I say pre-Prohibition because our cocktails are either directly from that era or inspired by. So vodka wasn't very popular then. We make a vodka. We needed to get it on the menu, and so we found cocktails that were at least inspired, meaning simply made. You know, you look at an old fashioned, it was probably the first cocktail, but it was spirit, bitters, sugar, and water or ice, water from the ice. And so that is kind of the methodology for all of our cocktails. I just developed this theory that if we've been making these cocktails for 150 years, there's got to be a good reason for it, right? Like, right. We stopped making the bad ones. And so, and I've seen that as a bartender, there is this desire to kind of return to those classics, or people just like that they recognize a name on the menu.
Sure.
Maybe they had a great Tom Collins a couple years ago. Now they see it on our menu, and so they can recognize it and they can order it. And so, you know, that also was a big part of developing our menu.
Just a little bit of a simplification.
That's right.
Of things. And I know you've talked a lot about really creating an experience for folks. And so, especially being a transient vacation town,
yeah,
you were talking about, as people are coming back through and wanting that, you go back somewhere, you want that meal you had, you want that drink
right.
you had.
And if you go back to, you know, our origin, it was based on a great experience that we had. And so everything we do at Hidden Ships, and, you know, when I hired the staff, this is the first thing we talked about. It was, we're experience focused for the customers that may come in. And that starts in the back of the house when we're making our spirits, and it has to translate to the front of the house when we're actually creating those cocktails. For us, it was all about that experience. We want people to come in and have a great cocktail, have a great experience, but then also, you know, a year later, they're going to be able to come back and have that same great experience. It's going to be replicatable each time. So our core menu really won't change. You'll be able to come get that same great old-fashioned or Manhattan. Sazerac's a great cocktail that's very popular. All those are going to stay on the menu, and so you can have that same great experience every time you come in.
And, of course, that if you're just jumping in the car, for example, and just hearing it, says Andy with his wife, Amy, of the newly opened Hidden Ships Distillery up in Topsail, creating that experience for us, for everybody that's coming through. And it's just, you know, those are the memories people are building when they're coming to vacation.
That's right.
They're going to get that part of that memory year after year. Let's also take a moment to point out the fact that you can sell bottles out of your distillery, including on Sundays when the ABC store cannot.
Yeah, it's a cool feature, and it's something I did highlight in the business plan. We do think it could be significant business, but you know, the ABCs are closed on Sundays, and so for us, we're able to be open Sundays at 10 a.m. We'll talk about hours real quickly. We're closed Monday, Tuesday to the public. That's a big production day for us. Wednesday to Saturday, we open at noon. We close at 10, so pretty simple hours there. But Sunday's kind of that exception. We open at 10 a.m. based on what they call the brunch law. Mm-hmm. That's the soonest we're able to start selling, and so we open at 10. Every Sunday morning from 10 to noon, we actually have mimosas and Bloody Marys on special. But as you mentioned, the only place in Pender County you can actually buy a bottle, because my merchandise store, which of course has the shirts and hats and stickers and glassware and all of that, but also has bottles for sale.
Very cool. And I do have to say, you guys can go online to socials and take a look from what I've seen. You've got a beautiful logo and lots of great merch. With the holidays coming, it's a good time to be getting open.
Yeah, come get your Christmas
people
presents.
People can get some gift giving. Again, a reminder that gin release is next weekend. And also, just a note, you're Bills fans, huh? So you're sign of an unofficial Bills home?
I would say official.
Official.
So we're striking a fine balance. We're not a sports bar. There's plenty of great sports bars out there to go get all the other games. But Amy and I are both from Buffalo originally. And so we wanted to kind of do this Bill's Backer Bar. And I say official because there's a website. We are registered. And that's – we'd spent a year traveling after I retired from the Marine Corps, traveling the U.S. in an RV. And that was during the football season. And we would go to the Bill's Backer website bar, find a place. And it wouldn't matter if it was the middle of South Dakota, Montana, Northern California, down to New Orleans. Wouldn't matter where we were at. These Bills fans just kind of come out of the woodwork. And so when I looked at that, and I said, yeah, I grew up there and I'm a Bills fan, but this makes business sense.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a great event. The Bills Mafia comes out and supports us.
Nice.
So we're very happy to kind of be in, you know, near us, certainly the only Bills Backer Bar.
Very good. That is Andy and Amy Schwepka.
Schwepka,
I got it right, of Hidden Ships Distillery that has just opened. I guess it's been about a couple of weeks. They're breaking out their gin next week. Lots of fun and festivities. Make plans to go up there and check it out. We've got their backstory, of course, beautifully outlined for you on their website. Beautiful space. They've taken a lot of care in creating a space where they can create an experience.
Yep.
Thank you guys so much for coming in. And thanks for contributing to our community in this way.
It.
We sure appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we will keep the tunes rolling right along after this here on The Penguin.